Have you ever caught yourself secretly wishing someone would swoop in and solve your problems? This isn't just a momentary weakness. It's what psychologist Colette Dalniff identified as the Cinderella complex, a profound psychological dependency that undermines women's independence. The revelation struck Dowling during a bout with the flu while living alone. Despite her outward competence, what she truly wanted was safety and protection. When she published an essay about this experience, thousands of women across all demographics recognized themselves in her story. One successful lawyer confessed to hating and fearing both dependence and independence simultaneously, constantly weighing, charging ahead against running and hiding behind some man who'll protect me. This psychological need to avoid independence may be the most crucial issue facing women today, a complex network of largely repressed attitudes that keep women in a psychological half-light, unconsciously retreating from fully using their minds and creativity. The Cinderella complex manifests in countless subtle ways that limit women's potential. Despite outward progress in education and career opportunities, many women were raised with persistent messaging to depend on men. Most tellingly, unlike men, women's IQ shows almost no correlation to career achievement or economic success. The Stanford Gifted Child study revealed a startling pattern. Two-thirds of women with genius-level IQs were working as housewives or office workers, far below their intellectual potential. Major corporations consistently report female employees showing strong resistance to advancement programs. Qualified women often decline promotions 3 or 4 times before accepting, turning down management roles at twice the rate of their male counterparts. Dr. Ruth Moulton's research identified a have-another-child syndrome, where talented women become pregnant to avoid career anxiety, documenting 20 patients who used compulsive child-rearing to escape the outside world, often conceiving just as they became freer to pursue work. This pattern appears especially common among women with advanced degrees and strong academic backgrounds.
How does this dependency develop? Ironically, girls begin life developmentally ahead, verbally, perceptually, and cognitively superior by 4 to 6 weeks at birth, with a full year's advantage by first grade. Yet by ages 3 or 4, they're already serving others and putting others' needs before their own. The foundation for independence is established before age 6 through critical experiences of autonomy and risk-taking. But girls are prevented from crucial emotional development because their path is made too easy. They're overprotected, overhelped, and taught that being good ensures continued support. Parents interpret identical crying differently, as fear in girls but anger in boys, and respond more quickly to comfort daughters. This creates a devastating cycle of learned helplessness. Girls don't develop confidence in their problem-solving abilities. Without experiencing controlled doses of fear and challenge, like climbing trees, exploring independently, or resolving conflicts, girls never learn to master these emotions or develop resilience. By age 6, the pattern is firmly set. Girls who remain passive show declining IQs and decreased problem-solving abilities.
Adolescence creates a developmental crisis for girls, marking a dramatic shift in social expectations. Before puberty, girls enjoy relative freedom, playing sports, excelling academically, and showing leadership. But when puberty arrives, the trap door swings shut as specific feminine behaviors become expected. Academic achievement becomes secondary to social success, with girls suddenly rewarded for popularity with boys rather than personal accomplishments. Athletic girls face discouragement, assertive girls get labeled bossy, and intellectual interests become unfeminine. The message is unmistakable. Don't compete with men. Please, boys, get along. Family dynamics intensify these challenges. In families of accomplished women, a pattern emerges. An elusive mother who took a backseat to her husband, creating what daughters describe as a wispy, evanescent quality. The daughter often bonds with her father instead, feeling special when told she reminds him of himself. Yet betrayal comes when she attempts independence. Young women who begin to succeed suddenly find paternal support withdrawn, experiencing this as profound betrayal.
women's view of marriage remains largely unchanged. Many still see it as a fortress protecting them from responsibility. In Husbands and Wives, researchers found women prioritizing security over companionship or sex, regardless of educational background. The psychological concept of fusion describes relationships where partners surrender individual identity for a merged one. This regressive impulse originates in childhood. Adults who try to fuse with mates are acting like toddlers, yearning to recapture the primitive exchange between infant and mother. Madeline Boroff's story exemplifies blind devotion, a competent-appearing woman who supported her unstable husband for 22 years, eventually committing welfare fraud to maintain their relationship. Her blind devotion masked her own dependency needs. She feared being alone more than facing legal consequences. The good woman who devotes her life to keeping her husband straight and children protected isn't a saint, but a clinger who fears independence. Psychologically, she uses marriage in the service of regression, hoping to return to an earlier, safer time. Psychologist Martina Horner's groundbreaking research identified women's fear of success, the tendency for capable, achievement-oriented women to become anxious about succeeding. Using projective tests, Horner found 90% of men saw success as desirable, while 65% of women found success disturbing or terrifying, primarily because they believed professional achievement would jeopardize their relationships with men. Female respondents portrayed successful women as unhappy, aggressively ambitious, or socially rejected. One student's response was particularly violent, describing a successful woman being beaten and maimed for life by disgusted classmates. Women who suppress their ambitions to avoid this gender panic pay a steep emotional price, deliberately lowering their aspirations to maintain a conventionally feminine image. Success-anxious women perform below their abilities in competitive situations, downgrade their accomplishments, and ultimately sabotage their futures without realizing their lives are ruled by this fear. Resolving the conflict between dependence and independence requires systematic working through, not just awareness. The tension between wanting freedom and craving protection is particularly insidious, as it carries a hidden gain, allowing us to remain stationary. Women divided by this conflict may find whole areas of their personalities eclipsed, creating an energy leak that manifests as indecisiveness and inertia. Overcoming this requires addressing root causes through self-examination of motives and thought patterns. Simone de Beauvoir exemplifies this journey. After recognizing herself as a mere parasite in her relationship with Sartre, she took a teaching job away from him and embarked on solitary, challenging hikes, facing dangers alone and metaphorically reclaiming her soul. The ultimate goal is emotional spontaneity, an inner liveliness from the conviction, "I am the first force in my life." Women who have sprung free possess emotional mobility, moving toward fulfillment and away from what doesn't satisfy them. They succeed without fear of failure, with confidence based on realistic assessment of both limits and abilities. Freedom develops from within rather than being taken from others. The woman who believes in herself needs neither empty dreams beyond her capabilities nor hesitation at tasks for which she's prepared. Self-loving and grounded, she is free to love others because she first loves herself.